Kristen are traveling home. They didn't get to leave Florida when anticipated. Michael was at a conference. And I think they started, I'll spare the fine detail, but someone started puking on Monday and they were not finished on Friday with getting it through the whole family. So they couldn't travel when they were supposed to due to sickness. And so I just texted them a few minutes ago. Told them we missed them. And their response was not pray for us. It was, we're praying for you, preacher. Wow. Great food this morning. Andy Hunt, Kevin Wells, Judge Dolan, Ernie Wright, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Did a great job, and we're grateful. And if you're visiting this morning, we hope that you enjoyed the worship part of the service, and I just hope I can continue now with the spirit and the mood. This is the last message in a series entitled The Prelude to Easter. Don't worry if you didn't hear the first three or four. They each stand alone. I've been doing this P thing, the prelude to Easter, the pressured part of that, the prelude to Easter, the prediction, the prelude to Easter, the power. And this morning, it is Easter. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of Easter? You ever ask yourself, why is there a day we call Easter? You ever think about it? Why do we as a people all over the world, started, you know, yesterday our time, all over the world, get up like no other day? 184 in here this morning, which is our biggest day, our Super Bowl, you know, throughout the year. And why do we like no other day? And, you know, I've been describing as our church's Super Bowl, this is the biggie. And I remember as a child, all those little suits and those stupid bow ties. And if your child's wearing a bow tie, no child should have to look at those pictures when they grow up and they're 20 years old and in this sailor suit with a little bow tie. It should not have to be that way. But, and I've seen some, so I'm sorry, but knickers and sailor suits, I outgrew those, thank God. But why is it? Why all the hoopla? All those that are here maybe this morning out of respect, because it's Easter. It's the day we call Easter. And Easter above all days, what's the purpose of it all? Why? And this morning, I want to ask everyone in the room a few questions. But why are you here at church on this Sunday? Why all the children's events that's taken place? We started all this off last weekend with an Easter egg hunt and a devotion and candy and wow. I mean, they even had, I know Austin and them had an Easter party at the public school. Why? Why do we celebrate Easter like no other day? The egg hunts throughout the tri-state, the baskets, the bunnies, the, you know, we as a nation, I heard yesterday, spend $14 billion alone on Easter bunnies. Easter bunnies. Not the real ones. I'm talking the chocolate ones. Now, that's a lot of chocolate. And before you answer, no matter what your answer or my answer is, we all know that it surrounds the cross. We all know that it surrounds the crucifixion. We all know that it surrounds the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We know that. I mean, the video, it so illustrates the Easter holidays. So if that's the case and we know it, what would it take? What would it take for every Sunday to be Easter Sunday for you? What would it take? What would it take? And while you contemplate your answer, I want to read you something. She's going to put it on the board for us. Paul, in my opinion, gave a very good answer. And if you look at it, and look at it real close, it almost goes by undetected. You almost miss it whenever you read the Scripture in this particular portion. Paul tells us why Easter. Beginning in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." We all could say, you know, think about that. Everything that I think is gain, I've counted them lost in order to go to heaven when I die. Then he goes on, "Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." And he meant that literally. "I suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness." Churches struggle with those two little statements right there. Being found in Him and not my own righteousness. Religion and a million churches across this world today will teach you it's about your righteousness, not in Him. Paul said, "Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God." How? "By faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Father God, this morning we come to You just asking that You'd take the next few minutes and help us to illustrate as best we can what's the purpose of Easter. Why all the hoopla? Why we're all here this morning? Why there's something that beats in our chest that drove us to get out of bed on this day, if no other day? Why there's a longing? Why, God? Please, Holy Spirit of God, put a quiet hush on everyone's mind off of the events that's going to take place when they leave here. May for the next few minutes they understand the purpose of Easter. In Jesus' name, amen. I could preach here for hours, but don't worry. You can take a big sigh of relief. I know that I make about half of you happy whenever I stand up, and the other half of you will be happy when I sit down. But I just want you to think about two of Paul's statements this morning in relation to Easter and that question. Why or what's the purpose of Easter? He said, I count all things loss for the knowledge of Christ. And then in verse 10, he says, that I may know Him and the power of His Easter resurrection. That I may know Him and the power of Easter, the resurrection. You see, if you notice the word knowledge, what is knowledge? Knowledge is something that is acquired through experience, through learning, and it takes time, and you have to experience that learning process. Knowledge, he says, of Christ is experiencing Christ, and that I may know Him. Know is a simple little Greek word. It's called gnosko in the original, G-I-N-O-S-K-O, gnosko. And I went and looked it up, and it means to know or to know by experience of a relationship. Paul said, for me to experience a relationship with Christ and the power of His resurrection. When you look at that first chance, and you know, it takes me to a question to each of you this morning that's sitting in the room, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him, Christ, the subject of Easter? Or do you gnosko Him? Do you know Him by experience of a relationship? You see, it's been my finding through some 58 odd years, and I know you don't believe I'm that old, but it's been my finding. Laugh, I heard you. I heard three of you. It's been my finding that most Christians that name the name of Christ, and if I was to ask all of you in this room this morning that are Christians, you'd pump, 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 pop your hand up. I know Him, I know Him, I know who He is, I know Jesus. But what my experience has been is only about 5 or 10% of Christian people gnosko Christ, have a relationship with Christ. Paul said, I want to experience a relationship with Christ and the power of His resurrection. In other words, do you gnosko Him this morning? You see, I guess Easter is Christ, and Easter is the resurrection, that you can know Him. What would it take? I want you to ask yourself this question. What would it take for you this morning to have a relationship with Christ? What would it take? If Easter, Paul said, is to know Him and the power of Easter and the resurrection, what would it take for you, not me, not the person beside you? I want you to ask yourself that question. What would it take for you to have a relationship with Him? Many would say, well, first of all, I don't even understand how you can have a relationship with somebody that died and according to the Scripture was buried and rose again, and now he's going to have. How do you have a relationship? So to some, the first thing you would say is, I would have to have a better understanding. I don't even understand what you're talking about. And you might say this morning, you know, if I need a better understanding, because I thought all my life that Easter was about religion. Easter's about bunnies. Easter's about eggs. Easter's about, you know, chocolate. And Easter's about church. And Easter's about doing good. And Easter's about... No. Preacher, I don't even understand how I can have a relationship, because that looks different than just a respect for the holiday and coming to church this morning because I got tricked at coming. Somebody told me I was coming to breakfast. They didn't tell me I was staying for church, and now I'm here and listening to you, and I'm about sick of this because, but I didn't understand. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't comprehend. I can't fathom having a relationship, because to me it's just going to church and coloring some eggs and hunting some eggs and eating some candy. What do you mean having a relationship? I would need a better understanding. And then to others it would say, well, you know, if there were better Christians in the world, you know, I would need Christians to live like Christians and not be so hypocritical before I could ever have a relationship, before I can ever go to church. You know, I make myself come on Easter because it's what you're supposed to do, and my mama would be mad if she didn't, and if she's dead, she'd turn over in her grave if I didn't at least go to church on Sunday morning on Easter. But you know, all the hypocrites, to which most of them would probably ask you, okay, will you set the example? What we're supposed to be like? And you say, I know, preacher. I just use them as an excuse. And I too don't really understand what a relationship is. And then to the next group, they would say, well, if we had better churches, you know, I need churches to be what they used to be. I don't like going to church anymore because it's not like it was when I was a kid. And is there very much like what it was like when you was a kid? Not really. You don't say that about going to the movies. It costs you four times more now than it used to. And they've got 20 theaters instead of one, and a bottle of pop's not a nickel anymore. But if they had better churches, then, you know, maybe, just maybe. And church is just not what it used to be. I would attend, and I would love it if it would just go back to the old-time religion. Really? Because there's some of them out there. And you can find them if you go look, but I don't see people beating down the doors to get in them either. I just don't see it. Because you know what I think? I think we have a misunderstanding of what the purpose of Easter, the purpose of the gospel, the purpose of the resurrection really is. What I believe is we have a know Him issue in the world today. Howbeit, understanding may add to it. Howbeit, you know, as bad as I hate to say it, churches being screwed up may be part of the issue. And Christians being hypocrites may be part of the issue. But this one thing I can tell you, and I know their practices of churches adds to some of the problem and all that goes with it, but I can tell you that there is a part of what Paul said that has nothing to do with hypocrites, that has nothing to do with churches being messed up, because they all are. If you want to know about this one, come by sometime when you got 3 or 4 hours and we can tell you about it. If I can't, there's 3 or 4 people that will whisper it to you as you come and go and leave. But they're all screwed up. You don't know why? Because they're full of messy people that have a whole lot of problems. And there's a whole lot of issues. And I'll say this, though. It's not about religion. Easter's not about just attending church. There is a part of an experience of gnosko, knowing and experiencing a relationship with Christ. Paul states in verse 10, and she'll put it back up there, that I may know Him, that I may experience Him, and the power of Easter, the power of the resurrection. That's what it's about. I don't care if you attend church. They didn't even have churches back then. They met in homes. They met under trees. They met into rock places. And I've seen some of them. It's unbelievable. It wasn't about a church building. And it wasn't about a bunch of hypocrites as inside a church building. It was about people that was wanting to experience this risen Savior and the power of that resurrection. And they wanted to have a relationship with Him. There is a difference between knowing Him by experience of a relationship and knowing Him out of respect as coming to church because it's a holiday. There is a difference between knowing Him by experience of a relationship and knowing Him by religious standards and practices and infatuation. There is a difference between knowing Him by the experience of a relationship and even knowing who He is, because most people have a knowledge of who He is, but they've never had a relationship. There's folks that's been in church for years. There's folks that knelt at this altar. There's folks that knelt at altars all over the world and have trusted Christ as their personal Savior and asked Him to come into their heart and forgive them of their sins and please take me to heaven because of some crisis of belief, and yet they never had a relationship once they got up and left the altar. Because it's been made out to be that it's about experience. It's about a prayer. It's about doing something. But Paul said that I may gnosko, I may know Him by the experience of a relationship and the power of Easter, the resurrection. Ooh. You see, there's 150 people or 200 people, 184, whatever's here this morning, in this room that know who I am. You know my name. You know me. And I'll say this, though. There's only two or three people in this room, maybe four or five at the most. That in fact know me by experience of a relationship. They know my likes. They know my dislikes. They know my moods. Don't say amen. I've seen the whole front row go, and the front over here. They know the fact that I would die for chocolate-covered macadamia nuts. It says Hawaiian Host on the outside of the box. You don't know my character. The rest of you don't know my work ethics. You don't know the time that I invest in my unsaved neighbors. You don't know the fact that they respect me and one of them brings gift cards at Christmas and puts them in my bell box. And you don't know the pain that we go through from day to day and the feelings and the sorrow and the suffering. And here's another part of it. I know almost everybody in this room's name, and I know where a bunch of you even live, but I don't know you. I just don't know you. I don't know your character. And I don't know what your likes and sorrows and suffering. And likewise, you know, I just don't know you. But I'll tell you who I do know. I know that little lady sitting right there on the front row that I have a relationship with. I know the guy sitting beside of her and his wife who I have a relationship with. I know a sprinkling of others in this room who I have a relationship with. And please understand, I'm not boasting, but I know my Savior pretty well. I'm in a relationship with Him. I know His likes. I know His dislikes. I know His emotions. I know His sorrows. I know His pain. I know what He suffered for. I know He forgives. I know He forgets. I know He has my best interest always at heart. I know He loves me because Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I know Him because we have a relationship. By the way, He knows I sin. And let me tell you a little secret. He knows your sins too. And I'm going to tell you something other than that. Me and Him talk about it because I have to tell Him about it all the time. God, I did that and I really hate it and I'm sorry and I kind of wish I wouldn't. And you know what He does? He doesn't say, well, shame on you. You're going to go to hell for that if you don't get right with God. Blah, 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 blah. And it's not all this what we make it out to be, because most of the time what He tells me is, that's all right. We'll get it right the next time. I died for that. And I forgive. And I know He forgives because He tells me I'm forgiving. And He tells me that we'll work on that. And I know He hurts when I hurt. And I know He cries when I cry. And I know He takes care of things I'm concerned about. I wallered around for 6 months trying to get our tax money back from a county auditor where we bought property here, and you file for all these stupid exemptions and yada, 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 and trying to get it back. And I've talked to everybody here that knew anybody down at the county courthouse, and I can go on and on and on. And finally, I got so frustrated, I said, God, if we ever get that back, it's up to You. I can't deal with it no more. My little OCD personality just won't let me without getting angry. I'm sitting in a staff meeting the other morning talking about that exact subject. My phone goes, brr, brr. And I pulled it out. And God said, through Pam, I got your check for you. If you'd let me done it, I'd have had it a long time ago. I know Him because we experience a relationship, and I know He's concerned about the things that I'm concerned about. How, just like the songwriter said, He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And hey, when you understand that He's not some cosmic drill sergeant that is mad at you, and He's not angry at you, and He's not pounding you, and He's not forcing guilt on you, and He's not forcing shame on you, and you too can have a friendly, loving, caring relationship, you will understand the purpose of Easter. Because Paul said that you can experience that power of forgiveness, that power of the resurrection, if you have this, know Him. You desire a relationship, and He desires a relationship with everyone in this room too. Just like Barabbas. And the thief beside Him. He will talk to you. He will love on you. He will care for you. And your problems will become His problems. But the problem is, you don't know Him. You just know who He is. you don't experience a relationship with Him. You don't talk to Him. You don't love on Him. You don't worship Him. You don't get in the moment. And the fact of the matter is, the next line is where everybody pretty much leaves off. And it's where we all fall short. And most preachers don't even read it. They won't even talk about it. But if you look at the latter part of that verse, as to know Him and the power of His resurrection, everybody stops right there. I'm not an English teacher, but Miss English teacher over there will correct me if I'm wrong. That's a comma. That doesn't mean the end. And the fellowship of His suffering. Being conformed to His death. What's that mean? I don't have an understanding of that. What it means is that most people are disgruntled with Jesus. They love Him, but they're disgruntled with Him. They're disgruntled with Christians. And yet, Christ died for Christians. They're disgruntled with Pharisees and hypocrites and legalists. And yet Christ died for them. So you're really disgruntled with Jesus. And you're disgruntled with the church and all the stupidity that they have and the arguing and the splits and the divisions. And I got to go somewhere else. And I'm going to tell you, it'll be the same there. And everything that goes on. And yet you're really disgruntled with Jesus because you know, the issue is you've never got in the trenches with Him in the fellowship of His suffering. You've never got in the trenches with Him and the conform to His death portion of it. You want the glory, but no, you want heaven, but you don't want no pain. You want the hoopla of Easter, but you don't want the darkness and the loneliness of the cross on Friday. You don't want to love anyone because they'll hurt you. They'll lie to you. They'll do things that you don't agree with. The fact is, you don't want anyone loving you because you don't want them to get close to you and know some of your sin. You don't want them to know some of your habits. You don't want them to get close because you don't want to hurt them. And the truth is, we want the riches, and we want the blessings, and we want the healing, and we want the praise. But we don't want no sacrifice. We don't want no conformity to sacrifice of a cross. We don't want no conformity to suffering. We want it to be Joel Osteen religion where everything's happy and God pays all of our bills and I don't have to work and everything will be a blessing. It'll all be great and wonderful. That is not the fellowship of His suffering, nor is it conforming to His death. That's a bunch of foolishness is what it is. The truth is, we try to fix it with religion. And it is true, it is a lack of understanding that we don't have a relationship. It is true we are all hypocrites. It is true that our churches are full of screwed up, messy people. And we try to fix all that with religion and the law, but not relationship. The truth is, Paul said, to be found in Him in verse 9, not my righteousness, but the righteousness which is not from the law, but that which is through simple faith in Christ. I heard this illustration. I can't help it. this was your life. That's most of us. That's most of us right there. Just messed up, wrinkled, problems, issues of life, finance, sin, alcohol, drugs. And this is Christ's life. Paul said, that which is through faith in Him. How much of in you do you see when you're in Him? I don't see you. He takes care of your messiness. He takes care of your wrinkles. He takes care of your lack of righteousness. He takes care of it all on the cross. And you are only asked not to clean up your life, not to go fly right, not to try to deal with your sins, not to try, but to have faith in Him. And the righteousness which is from you, no, but from God. How? By faith. If you're ever going to get anything right in life, you better get your faith right, because that's the only thing that's going to help you. Is your faith in Him. And your righteousness which is from God. Not from you, from God. How? By faith. By trusting Him to help you get it right. God, I can't do it anymore. To know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to make Him known. To know Him is to hear Him and to read His Word. And He speaks to you and you speak to Him. And you obey the Holy Spirit when He speaks back. The purpose of Easter is to know Him by the experience of a relationship and the power of faith in Him. Gnosko. Gnosko. That little word is used 227 times in the New Testament alone. I didn't know that. I'm not that smart. I had to go find it somewhere else. 227 times in the New Testament alone. And I want to tell you how intimate God wanted that relationship to be. The word was used by Jewish people as an idiom. Now, that doesn't mean it's an idiot using a word. I mean, you know what an idiom is, don't you? An idiom, let me think of one. An idiom is a phrase or a word that is used figuratively, not literally. My English teacher is right shaking her head. An idiom. Let's think. You're pulling my leg. They're not really pulling your leg. They're tricking you or telling you a fib. It's an idiom. Pulling is the idiom in that portion. Let's see. I know one. I'm really blue. You're not blue. You're sad. That's an idiom. The Jewish people used the word gnosko to know Him as an idiom. You want to know what it was? The Jewish people used it for sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. I know her. I know Him. I've been between the sheets, was their idiom. Probably not sheets back then. They may have got between rocks. That's all that's over there. I know her. I know Him. And the purpose of Easter and Paul, what Paul was saying is our relationship with Christ should look the same as the one that we are having sex with, or in their case, that we are married to. Your relationship with Jesus should not be that which is we think of when it comes to Easter, is that of just respect for attending. And God bless you. I'm not trying to walk on you this morning. I'm trying to help you. If you would just get a relationship with Christ instead of just knowing who He is and knowing something about Him, you would come to know Him in a relationship. You would see your life changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. Because it is about a relationship, and the purpose and the power of the resurrection is nothing that you can do other than depending on Him in faith to have this relationship. What would it look like this morning? Would it be different than when you came through the doors? What would it take for you this morning to know Him and the fellowship of His suffering and the sacrifice, the surrender to carry the cross? What would it take? Would it look different if you had a relationship with the One that died for you, instead of it being about respect for a day called Easter? Would it look different than Easter bunnies and chocolate and colored eggs? Nothing wrong with all of that. We've all participated in it and still do. But it would look different if it was about a relationship of the One that forgives you, the One that pays the price, the One that doesn't dangle righteousness in front of you like a carrot, but stuffs you in His life and says, "I've got your righteousness covered. I've died for your sins." Would it look different? You say, "Preacher, this is different than anything I've ever heard in my entire life. I thought it was about going to church and cleaning up my act and putting on some pretty clothes and a dress today." It's not about that. It's about knowing Him and the power of what Easter does in your life, because He died, was buried, and rose again. Easter. That's it. Let's stand.